أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون صدق الله العظيم My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made us into an ummah which is supposed to be united. And one of the key factors of this ummah, its uniqueness of this ummah, and its difference to other nations is the unity that this ummah has above other nations. And there are so many classic examples of this that we can focus on and try to understand that unity from the things that we experience as an ummah, as Muslims, on a day-to-day basis, on a month-to-month basis, on a year-to-year basis. For example, one of the unique things about this ummah is the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan is practiced worldwide by all Muslims, regardless of wherever we are in the globe, and it is done in a united fashion. Yes, give or take a day because of the differences of opinion on the moon sighting, local or global, and so on. And we even have an issue with that and we complain about that. But for the most part, the Muslims are unanimously and unitedly fasting in the month of Ramadan globally. Globally they are doing it. And at the same time you have the month of Hajj, Dhul-Hijjah, in which collectively people come from all different parts of the world and millions of them collectively are doing the actions of Hajj and thereby are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing those things in unison, in unity, and doing them together. So these are big examples of how the ummah, it is united in so many different ways. And at the same time, on the day of Arafah, when all the hujjaj are standing and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for forgiveness and asking for good for the ummah and asking for good of the family, people worldwide are fasting on the day of Arafah, the Nafil fast, to remind themselves of what the Hujjaj are doing, and to basically be at one, to unite their hearts with the Hujjaj that are standing on the plains of Arafah and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is another example of the unity of the ummah and how close we are as an ummah. And then on a local level, in a masjid level, the best things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes are those things which are done in unity and together. Like the congregational prayer. We've all heard from childhood that when a person prays in congregation, he prays with the jama'ah, the reward is multiplied 25 to 27 times more than if a person is praying individually at home. Okay, and on top of that, it can even vary and increase depending on different situations and different scenarios. There are hadith which talk about the jama'ah, the congregation, of two people being better than four people individually. And then the congregation jama'ah of four people being better than eight people individually, and so on. Also, there are hadith that talk about the importance of collectively eating, because that becomes a source of barakah. The more people eat in one plate, it increases the barakah to such a degree that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, طَعَامُ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَكْفِي لِأَرْبَعِ. The food of two people is sufficient for four people. وَطَعَامُ الْأَرْبَعِ يَكْفِي لِثَمَانِيَ. And the food of four people, it is sufficient for eight people. So collectively doing these things, it increases the barakah and increases the blessing within that action that is being done. One of the side benefits of praying in congregation is that individually a person may be making mistakes in his salat. And when he makes those mistakes in the salat, and he's praying individually, not realizing the mistakes that he's making, there's a high possibility or probability that that salat is not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is lacking the very basic arkan of the salat that a person is supposed to be implementing. Or he's making such a grave mistake in his salat that because of that, the salat is being nullified and being voided. But when a person prays in congregation, his mistakes that he makes behind the imam are overlooked. And because of the barakah and the blessing of being in that united jama'ah and the congregation, his salat will become accepted because of the mere reason, because of the fact that he chose to pray the salat in jama'ah. So we can give so many different examples of the blessing of unity and the blessing of doing things together. And basically today's khutbah is about the importance of the unity itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together and do not differentiate. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ. The hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the jama'ah, meaning the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the jama'ah, with the congregation, and things which are done collectively, this help is and assistance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with three things for you, and he dislikes three things for you. What are the three things? فَيَرْضَى لَكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That you should worship him and you should not commit any kind of shirk with him. وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And you should hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And you should not differentiate. وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ. And he dislikes for you قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال. He dislikes for you قيل وقال. قيل وقال basically means that getting involved in pointless discussions that have no head or toe, and they are basically going nowhere, they have no worldly benefit or benefit of the hereafter. These pointless discussions, rather like what you see on the news organizations nowadays. They are basically taking one subject and spinning it and going round and round and round that same subject without any kind of end to that subject. This is qil wa qal. The other thing that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes is kathratu su'al, increasing and asking questions which are pointless, as the Bani Israel used to do to Musa ﷺ, and because of that they got into trouble. We all know the story of the cow, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. I won't go into that. But kathratu su'al is again forbidden in Islam. And the point is that as Muslims, when we are told that this a certain thing is halal, we should accept it, you know, with obviously the when that information is coming from a scholar and a person who's an authority. And if a person is saying that something is haram, we should accept it, especially when that ruling is coming from an authority. And when we are told that there's a gray area and there is karaha, or it is permissible, then we should accept that also when it is coming from an authority. But to question these rulings, especially when they're coming from authorities, is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, it leads to divisions and it leads to disunity within the community when these kinds of questions are put. And finally, the last thing that is mentioned in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes is idaatul mal, which means to waste the wealth, which we are seeing, unfortunately, mainly in our Muslim countries. We see so much wealth being wasted on pointless pursuits, on firework displays in the new year, and trying to appease non-Muslims which are living around in that particular area. So, idaatul mal, the waste of wealth, is something that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is mentioned in the ayah which I recited? وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not differentiate. What is that rope? It is mentioned that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that while giving khutbah, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالطَّاعَةِ. Hold fast to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. And hold fast to the jama'ah, meaning the community. فَإِنَّهُمَا حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِهِ. That is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is ordering you about. The thing that He is ordering you is, number one, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, to hold fast to the community, to hold fast to the people around you, and to maintain unity. That is what you should try to maintain. One of the biggest things that has occurred in the last few years is what has become known as the Arab Spring, in which many people, they decided to topple their dictators. And of course, the dictators, doing what they've done for years and decades, they have always done wrong and oppressed. But Islamically, to prevent this kind of discord and to prevent things like what happened in Syria, the Prophet ﷺ even used to discourage people from revolting against their rulers. It is mentioned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, and he said, when he was asked by a person named Samak ibn Walid al-Hanafi, مَا تَقُولُ فِي سَلَاطِينَ عَلَيْنَا يَظْلِمُونَنَا يَشْتِمُونَنَا وَيَعْتَدُونَ عَلَيْنَا فِي صَدَقَاتِنَا أَلَا نَمْنَعُهُمْ. What do you think about those kings, those rulers that are oppressing us? They curse us and they transgress against us, and they transgress against us, especially in our sadaqat, in our charities. Should we not prevent them? So he said, La. Do not prevent them. Ati'ahum. Al-jama'a, al-jama'a. Obey them. Hold fast to the jama'a. Hold fast to the jama'a. Hold fast to unity. إِنَّمَا هَلَكَتِ الْأُمَمُ الْخَالِيَةُ بِتَفَرُّقِهَا أَمَا سَمِعْتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. He says that those nations that came before you, they were destroyed because of their tafarruq, because of their dissent, because of their separation. He said, do you not hear the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not differentiate. So there are many, many hadith that talk about this type of unity. So what kind of things are the things that make a person differentiate with somebody else? There are many things. And on top of them is the thing which is most prominent in this day and age and always comes to the forefront, even amongst non-Muslim circles. It is the issue of race. If anybody would have had any kind of superiority over anybody else, it would have been the Arabs over the non-Arabs. But the Prophet ﷺ, he closed the door to that kind of thinking in his khutbatul wada. When he gave his khutbah, what did he say? A very beautiful statement which echoes in khutbahs throughout the world ever since the Prophet ﷺ said it. He said, لا فضل لعربي فوق أعجمي ولا فضل لعجمي فوق عربي إلا بالتقوى. There is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab except through taqwa. And there is no superiority for a non-Arab over an Arab except through taqwa. So simply the fact that you speak a language, even if it's the language of the Quran, even if it's the language of the Hadith, even if it's a language of the Prophet ﷺ, does not make a person superior to somebody else except through taqwa. And then in that same khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the issue of the color of the skin and making sure, especially the slaves, As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum, he said. Guard your salat, guard your salat, and what your right hands possess. Meaning, take care of what your right hands possess. Take care of the slaves that are under your control. Do not basically do dhulm upon them. And in most cases, most of these people were from African countries, from Ethiopia and so on. So the Prophet ﷺ emphasized this point and he focused upon the issue of color. The issue of what is the next thing that people have that differentiates and creates divisions between people, it is financial status. And unfortunately in this country we have that more than in other places. Even our localities and our school districts are divided according to that division of financial status. So the status quo and the level of education for a certain segment of society remains the same. Those people remain backward. They remain uneducated. Why? Because schools in certain districts in which poor people are living, they do not get the same assistance or funding as schools which are in so-called rich districts. And unfortunately, you cannot take a person who lives in a so-called poor district into a school which is in a rich district because all of these rules are determined by zip codes. So Islam, it does away with this issue of financial status because Allah gives to whom He wants and He takes away and tightens to whom He wants. Allah can take away the wealth at any time. We've seen that in so many situations, so many occasions, that the wealth of the rich can be taken away. Billionaires that used to hold many stocks, they became penniless overnight because of the crash of stock markets. And we've seen that time and again. And other reasons that take place because of revolutions, because of wars, because of the deflation of currencies and so on, a person can lose his wealth overnight. So a person should never feel arrogant because of wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. People create divisions because of the madhab that they follow. Because of the madhab, meaning the fiqhi madhab or the school of thought, people make differences because of that. And again, we need to understand that the differences that occur between the madhahib are not differences of halal and haram and right and wrong. The majority of the differences are related to better versus not better. Okay, so for example, the issue of raful yadain, which is the raising of the hands between the arkan, in Hanafi fiqh, the raful yadain is not done, but other madhahib, the other three madhahib, they do raful yadain between the between all of the arkan, and each one has its proof. But none of the madhabs will say to the other one that you are wrong and this is right. Rather, they will say that this is better because of such and such a proof. And the Hanafis will say, well, this is better because of such and such a proof. Okay, so the majority of the things that are differences or regarded as differences between the madhahib are not actual differences. They are simply differences of opinion based upon or related to the issues of better versus not better. So we should each respect that difference, and we need to understand and remember that all of those four imams, or even more, there are actually more schools of thought than four, they actually go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, and they derive the religion from the Quran and the Sunnah. Nobody takes the religion out of their pocket and fabricates it. It is actually from the Quran and the Sunnah. So the summary is, my dear brothers and sisters, that unity within the community is a very important thing. And without unity, we cannot move forward. There's a beautiful story that took place in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and I'll finish with this. The Prophet ﷺ used to make i'tikaf in the masjid during the month of Ramadan. And the purpose of making i'tikaf was to find Laylatul Qadr. One day he emerged from the tent, and in front of him, two people were arguing amongst each other. And he said, he told the people that I was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Laylatul Qadr will take place on such and such a night. But when I saw these two people arguing, that knowledge of when Laylatul Qadr occurs, it was taken away from me. I was made to forget it. Now, because of these two people that were arguing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole ummah has been deprived of knowing exactly when Laylatul Qadr is until the Day of Judgment. You can imagine. Okay, so we know, or most people assume, that it's on the 27th night of Ramadan, but this is not the case. It could be on any one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and we need to search for it, and that's the whole purpose of i'tikaf. But going back to the point, if you can imagine that just two people arguing have deprived the ummah of khair until the Day of Judgment, and deprived us of the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr until the Day of Judgment, then what can we say about those communities in which there is constant arguing and fighting and bickering and court cases and police being called to the masajid? What can we say about that? Alhamdulillah, we don't have that in our community. But this is something that we need to be careful of and avoid for the future, because of the fact that khair will be removed from communities because of this kind of dispute and these kinds of arguments. So we need to focus on unity. We need to focus on love and affection between the brothers and sisters, regardless of where we come from and what language we speak and what financial status we have or what madhab we follow. We need to unite, and we need to increase the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by increasing our unity and love and affection and brotherhood for each other. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.